Hello and welcome to the Sam Knows podcast. I'm Barry Collins. There's a lot going on inside your broadband router, perhaps more than you realise. That box in the corner isn't only ferrying data back and forth from your devices to the internet, it's keeping an eye on the health of your connection too. It's testing the real speed of your connection, measuring your connection's performance on services such as Netflix, Skype and WhatsApp, and checking how well it copes with online gaming. The reason tens of millions of routers are able to perform these high-level diagnostics is because of Sam Knows software agent. And today, the man who's led the team of software engineers who created that agent, Sam Crawford, is joining me in the studio to discuss exactly what the agent does, how it does it, and why you don't need to worry about your privacy being compromised. Sam, people familiar with Sam Knows may know that you distribute white boxes that monitor the performance of people's broadband connections, but they might not know that you have software inside many routers. How long have you had this software agent in routers, Sam?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We are certainly most well known for the white boxes that we distribute, primarily as part of our government-backed measurement projects. But yes, we also embed our router agent, effectively our measurement software, inside some ISPs' home routers or home gateways, as they're often called, as well. We've been doing this for about 6 years now. The origin of this was one ISP we were working quite closely with here in the UK. Came to us and said, we're buying tens of thousands of the, or we're distributing tens of thousands of these of our existing routers to customers every week. And these devices are fundamentally small embedded Linux devices, and your white boxes are small embedded Linux devices. Why don't we just merge the two together and do a proof of concept of putting your software inside our routers? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did. And it's evolved from there. But that ISP is still a customer of ours, and our software is in every one of their routers around the UK. Which numbers many millions.
So is effectively the software just a replacement for the white box? Do they do pretty much the same thing?
So the measurement wise, it's exactly the same software in the white boxes and in the routers. The difference is a couple of areas. One is cross-traffic detection. So with the white boxes, we sit in line with the user's home networks, and we passively monitor Wi-Fi traffic to work out when it's safe to run measurements and when not to. In home routers, it's actually much easier. We don't need to passively monitor Wi-Fi or rely on the user to install a device in the correct way or have clever approaches around using UPnP for cross-traffic detection as well. When we're inside a home router, it is as simple as literally counting the bytes on a network interface. Mm-hmm. Because we're already inside the device, which has the internet connection. So we can just look at the internet connection interface and say how much traffic is passing through it. And it's as simple as that. And we're guaranteed to never miss any cross-traffic. So in that sense, that's one difference. I'd say the other difference is capabilities. So, a router which is, different routers from different ISPs will use different chips. They'll have different software on them, have different capabilities. A router which is 10 years old probably can't measure 1 gigabit per second. But a router which is 1 year old can probably measure a lot faster than 1 gigabit per second. Mm-hmm. So part of our integration work that we do when we're working with these routers and these ISPs is basically benchmarking them in our lab under different conditions and seeing what is the maximum performance we can hit. And sometimes this requires using hardware accelerators provided by the chipset vendors, like people like Qualcomm and Broadcom, sometimes it doesn't.
So give us a sense of the kind of data that's being collected by the software agent.
The router agent collects all of the same measurements that the white box does. So these are the active measurements like speed or throughput over TCP, latency as measured over UDP, packet loss, jitter, our gaming measurements, video streaming measurements, social media, blah, blah, blah. All of those are what we call our active measurements. Some of them are quality of service and some of them are quality of experience measurements. But the reason we say they're active measurements is because they are actively generating their own traffic, exchanging it with some third party. It might be one of our test servers, or it might be, let's say, Netflix's caches, as we talked about on a previous podcast. And then we're measuring the response to that stimulus. So those are active measurements. Now, both with the white box and with the router agent, we also do, we collect some environmental measurements. Although inside the router, it's actually, we can get a bit more, or we can get environmental measurements which are specific to the router, mm-hmm. the internals of the router. So things like the CPU utilization of the router, when the internet connection was last established or lost. So we can see the status of the DSL link. So we can see the DSL sync speed, for example. If it has multiple WAN interfaces, we can see the status of these WAN interfaces. We can see lots more. We don't collect everything. We're very, very privacy conscious. We don't want to collect too much information. We want to collect enough that helps us add context to the active measurements we gather. So yeah, certainly information about the health of the router itself is quite useful to us.
And explain why having a white box or the router agent is better for judging performance than simply relying on an internet speed test that you could visit in a browser.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a million and one reasons for this. A few of the, I guess I'll give you the top few. So number one, so regardless of whether it's in a white box or a router, we'll treat them as basically the same thing for the purposes of this question. The white box or the router are both connected via a wired connection directly to your internet connection, effectively. So there's nothing, there's no in-home factors which are going to be causing problems for the measurements or creating ambiguities. So we're not factoring in home Wi-Fi, for example. We're not factoring any in-home power line connections that you have running. Mm-hmm. So that means when we say we're measuring your internet connection, we are purely measuring your internet connection. We're not measuring your internet connection and your Wi-Fi as it extends to the end of the garden. So if you run a web-based speed test on a laptop down the end of the garden, then you're measuring your Wi-Fi connection and your internet connection. And as we've talked about on previous podcasts, the Wi-Fi connection can often be a problem, particularly as you get to faster and faster connections. So yeah. I'd say that's the big one, but there's tons more. So for example, both with the white box and with the router agent, we can measure cross traffic. So this is background activity from other devices. And then we only run our scheduled measurements when there is no or very, very minimal level of cross traffic. A web-based speed test can't do that. There's no facility for it to be able to ask how busy the network is. It's just not possible. So with a web-based speed test, you've got the ambiguity of there might have been other background traffic from other devices on the network at the same time. You don't know whether it's true or false, but there might have been. With the white box and the router agent, we can categorically say there was not. So it's good from a data purity perspective. You've opened up a can of worms now here, Barry, sorry. But another one is our devices are homogenous. A white box in my house is the same as the white box in your house. It runs the same software, same operating system, same version, same configuration, same everything. However, my laptop is not the same as your laptop. So if I'm running a web-based speed test on my laptop versus on your laptop, we might get very different results purely by virtue of the fact that I'm running Linux and my laptop's 5 years old. You might be running a MacBook Pro and it might be 1 year old. They could have completely different capabilities. So that's another factor. Anyway, there's lots more, but I think those are probably the top three that jump to mind. Oh, and I guess one more to mention is that because our device is powered on, both the white box and the router agent, or the router agent, it's powered on or designed to be powered on and left powered on 24/7, it means that we can run measurements 24/7. So throughout the day, throughout the night, and so on. Whereas a web-based speed test is a very self-selecting sample. People mm-hmm. are only using it when they think they have a problem. So you will probably bias towards slightly worse results sometimes, and you will sometimes also bias towards slightly better results because people only use it when they've just had their broadband connection upgraded or installed. But there's no scheduling aspect. So there's no 24/7 functionality. Even if you do run scheduled measurements, because you, let's say, install a desktop application, then if you turn your computer off, then obviously it can't run as well.
Yeah. So do broadband consumers even know this software is in their routers? And is there any way for them to be able to see the results of these tests that you're conducting?
Traditionally, most of the ISPs we've worked with have not made the measurements that we embed inside the routers directly available to their customers. So I would say the majority of them probably don't know. And certainly when we speak to people in the UK, like for example, when we're interviewing new candidates to join the company, I'll often ask them what broadband connection they have at home, what router they have. And they'll often be they're always surprised to hear that, oh, actually, we are already present inside your router. So if you phone up your ISP and complain about speed, one of the things they'll be checking is the measurements from your router that we're gathering. So I would say most people are not aware. However, I think that is making that data, the ISPs making that data available to the customers is changing. So some of our ISP customers now are using our Real Speed product, which basically lets you run a two-step speed test, one from your device to the internet and one from your router to the internet, just with a single click. They're making that functionality available to their customers. So they're starting to expose to the customers that measurements are embedded inside inside the router. I don't think they're yet showing the customers the historical measurement results from it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's it's easy to see that is the path, that is the direction things are heading in.
You mentioned that this has been embedded in routers for 6 years or more now. You've been the guy who's been overlooking this entire process. How has the software agent changed over that time?
Well, it's got a lot more, quite a few things. It's got a lot more robust. The first one, the first integration we did back in 2015 or early 2016 with one UK ISP wasn't really, it would be hard to describe it as an agent, because really it was a disparate collection of bits of software and held together with some sticky tape effectively. But things have moved on a lot since then. The whole process is automated now. We can do an integration in a very, very short amount of time. And we frankly worked with most chipset vendors at this point, and most major manufacturers, both the retail ones and the ODMs or the OEMs. So people like Arcadian and Sagem. So not consumer brands, but the people like the Arcadian, Sagems, Hytrons, Comscope, they're the big manufacturers who are building your BT home hubs, your Virgin Media hubs and so on. But and then Virgin and BT stick their own software and put a label on it and basically and market it as their own device. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with most of these people. So we've got a lot of familiarity with working with all of these different hardware manufacturers, the chipsets they use, and the weird little quirks that different ones have. Because often, frankly, a lot of these routers still run fairly old software stacks. It's definitely improved over the past couple of years, but some of them are still running software stacks which are 8, 9, 10 years old. So it's there's a lot of fragmentation out there. We've encountered lots of quirks along the way, lots of performance problems, but we've been able to overcome pretty much all of them. So we've done integrations with hardware accelerators, which basically means lots of these routers have dedicated packet processors alongside the main CPU, so that you can actually hit, let's say, 1 gigabit per second on your 5-year-old or even older router. Right. Without going through the main processor. So nowadays, some chipset vendors like Broadcom let you actually make use of that packet accelerator in order to do other things as well. So we can make use of that packet accelerator in order to be able to measure speed in this case. And then we're working with some other chipset vendors who would do similar things as well. It's definitely evolved both from a robustness perspective. It's just matured and grown up, and we have proper processes around it as well now. But also technically, it's got a lot more. We've dealt very well with the fragmentation and the performance challenges. And I think the last thing to add is we've obviously introduced a lot more functionality in the early days of 2015, 2016. The focus was on speed, latency, and packet loss. Nowadays, the integrations we're doing include our video streaming measurements, of course, gaming measurements, social media, video conferencing, so on. It includes all of our quality of experience measures too.
And I think we just want to be clear, because you mentioned it before, but when you say things like social media and video, you're not actually measuring what people are doing on those accounts. You're just measuring the performance of those services.
Yes, it's something we can't stress enough. All of our measurements are active measurements, not passive measurements. And that means we are generating traffic. Our white box or the router is generating traffic itself, exchanging it with some third party, like, I don't know, WhatsApp or Netflix or whoever. And then we're measuring the response that comes back from them. So we're not looking at your Netflix traffic, for example, because let's talk about it. So if we did want to do that, and some people, some companies do that. They have effectively deep packet inspection, and they have signatures that they say, right, this is what Netflix traffic looks like. Any traffic which matches this signature is Netflix traffic, and we'll measure it like this. There's a few. There's good things and bad things about this approach. The good thing about it is that you can do it at scale, so you don't need to put measurement devices inside customers' homes to passively measure things like Netflix performance. Mm-hmm. You can do it at the network level. So, you know, in telephone exchanges or in hub sites or in points of presence or much deeper into the network, you don't need to have it inside customers' homes. Downside to it is, I don't think it really represents customer experience. For a start, almost all of this traffic nowadays is encrypted. So they can't see, for example, what you're watching. Not that they necessarily want to, but they can't see what you're watching. And they also can't see what resolution you're seeing. And they certainly can't tell when your video is stalled. They can infer when it might have stalled or might have had a problem by looking for numbers of TCP retransmissions. What is the actual throughput being achieved at this time versus what was expected, but it relies on inference basically. And also, frankly, if you don't have a Netflix account, for example, Barry, then they can't gather any Netflix measurement results from you, because you're not using it. Yeah. So you can only measure what people are actually using. Now, with our approach, with the active approach, because we are effectively our Netflix client in this hypothetical scenario, it effectively has its own Netflix account. So even if a white box is installed in my home and I don't have a Netflix subscription, then our white box can connect to Netflix, stream some content from Netflix, and measure the performance, even whilst I'm asleep, not watching Netflix, and all of my computers are switched off. And the same goes for our social media measurements like WhatsApp and Snapchat and Instagram and others, and our video conferencing measurements like Google Meet and Zoom and so on. We are generating our own traffic and then measuring the response to that.
Which sort of leads on to my next question, which is that the agent helps you spot things that might otherwise go undetected. Can you give us some examples of that, Sam?
Yeah, sure. So, of course, the main purpose of the router agent is to perform the active measurements we've been talking about. And on a previous podcast, we talked about Netflix performance as an example. I think we picked on one ISP who had basically congestion at their Netflix cache locations, and they would see fantastic speed test results to dedicated speed test servers, but when streaming content from Netflix, they would see abysmal performance below 1 megabit per second during peak hours, and that was due to a routing problem at one of their sites within their own network, which hosted the Netflix caches. So that's the main purpose of the of both the write box and the router agent, to be able to identify both internet connectivity issues and also application issues, and that one really fits more in the latter camp. However, there are some interesting, like, second order effects we've seen as well. So as we talked about earlier, the router agent, by virtue of being embedded inside the router, has visibility of the environment that the router's in as well. So one issue we saw just recently was a firmware update to one of these routers introduced significantly higher CPU usage on the router, and that meant a side effect of that is that many of our measurements weren't running, because our measurements only run when, just like we talked about with cross traffic, we only run our measurements when there's a minimal level of cross traffic. We also avoid running our measurements if the CPU in the router is too excessively utilized. So we saw a reduction in measurement sample size. We investigated, and we found that a recent firmware update to the router itself, completely unrelated to our agent, had very significantly increased the CPU usage on the device. The manufacturer investigated and was able to reduce, basically found a bug, found an issue, and was able to reduce the CPU usage by 50%, which is huge.
Yeah.
And you know, when you've got millions of those devices around the UK, and this was an international device which is deployed across lots of other countries as well, that could add up significantly in terms of power consumption as well.
Just finally, Sam, what features are you hoping to add to the software agent coming forward?
There's lots more. I have a very long list. We do have measurements which look back inside the home nowadays. I think we talked about those very briefly on a previous podcast, and that requires closer integration with the Wi-Fi drivers and other stacks inside the device, which basically allows us to collect information about the state of the in-home network to be able to diagnose problems. Coming back to our earlier scenario with your poor web-based speed test from your laptop down the end of the garden, we'd be able to identify that. So that might be something which would supplement real speed to say, if you are seeing poor performance from your device but good performance from your router, then we might be able to say, well, this is actually the cause and here's how you could correct it, or maybe we can correct it for you potentially in the future. So in-home diagnostics is something we've already done with a couple of devices and need to want to broaden that. Mm-hmm. There's lots more, frankly. So making our agent more dynamically configurable is an area of focus at the moment. So we're introducing lots of new measurements all the time, both, well, primarily in the quality of experience space, but frankly, firmware rollouts by ISPs can take quite a long time, and they're dependent on so many other things as well that delays are really commonplace. So one thing we're looking at is making our measurements deployable at runtime without deploying binary executable code over the air, because that's a big security no-no. Mm-hmm. I can't go into too much detail on that at the moment, but that's an area of current work.
That's it for this edition of the SoundNose podcast. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out the full article on the website, and we'll see you next time.